Chapter 2. The Heart and the Soul's State. The 13th book of Hermes Trismegistus is devoted to the mystery of the spirit soul, a subject it explores very deeply. We have often mentioned this subject in earlier discussions of the Hermetic philosophy, but now we need to look at it in more detail. Whenever we think or speak about a person's soul state and his emotions, our attention is involuntarily drawn to the heart, to the disposition of the heart. The human heart is a wonderful organ. It is sevenfold in nature, just like the head and the solar plexus. The seven cerebral cavities can be compared with a seven-branched candelabrum, and similar comparisons can be made with respect to the heart and the solar plexus. The seven-branched candelabrum of the heart has a central function in the life system. It is an essential factor in the candidate's total consciousness. All the fluids of consciousness are transferred via the medulla from the head sanctuary to the heart, where they are collected. Meanwhile, the candelabrum of the solar plexus, situated below the stomach between the liver and the spleen, also sends all kinds of forces upwards to the heart, for the liver and spleen are responsible for transmitting to the heart sanctuary all the entity's astral and etheric conditions. The three candelabra of the head, heart, and solar plexus work together, and the central position is occupied by the candelabrum of the heart, which is fed from the head sanctuary and the pelvic sanctuary. From the head sanctuary, it receives the consciousness fluids, and from the pelvic sanctuary, all the astral and etheric influences present in the microcosm that have played an important role in the past of the human being concerned. In addition, at least in many cases, the heart receives direct radiations from the central heart of the microcosm, the domain of the rose. So the position occupied by the heart in the human system is really very central. Many influences, impulses, and radiations come together in the heart, where they are blended and transmuted to form one fundamental soul state. This, in turn, also has a radiative capacity. In this way, the soul state penetrates the blood, the nerve fluid, and the serpent fire. It rises into the head sanctuary and occupies all the organs present there. The quality, the nature of the soul state is thus the result of the human nuclear reactor, the heart, and it determines the state of one's life, the direction of one's life. So the human being has no choice but to follow the disposition of the heart. Once the soul state, and hence the radiation of the heart sanctuary, have become a fact, the human being is bound to follow the influences and tendencies of that soul state. Therefore, all your abilities, all your intellectual or other accomplishments are dependent on and subject to your soul state, its quality and scope. Suppose you had been given what is generally thought of as a marvelous education. Suppose you had attended the very best schools. That would be something to be grateful for, since it could, for instance, be helpful to you socially. However, if your soul state had been left far behind in all this education, if, from childhood onwards, your soul state had failed to receive any genuine culture, any culture in a soul-liberating sense, then your marvelous education would become a deadly danger to your fellow human beings, as can easily be. Demonstrated. If a person's life is to change in a truly liberating sense, that change must begin with the heart, in the heart. That is why the heart sanctuary is the first one to be subjected to the process of transfiguration. The importance of the state of the heart is very often mentioned in the holy language of all times. A person's soul state can turn him into a murderer, a demoniac, or a hypocrite. It can lead him into immeasurable pain or cast him into the abyss. But blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, as the Sermon on the Mount jubilates. And it is the pure in heart who are described in the prologue of the 13th book of Hermes. Hermes. The spirit, O Tat, is of God's very essence, at least if one could speak of such a thing as the essence of God. However that may be, it is the spirit alone that knows itself perfectly. That is why the spirit cannot be distinguished from the essence of God. It emanates from that source just as light emanates from the sun. This spirit is the good in men, hence some men are gods. Their human state very closely approximates to the divine state. The good demon has accordingly called the gods immortal men, and men mortal gods. In beings devoid of reason, the soul is nature. Wherever there is life, there is also a soul. In beings devoid of reason, however, the soul is nothing but life, empty of spirit. But the spirit is a benefactor of the souls of men. It works on them and forms them for the sake of the good. Seen superficially, this hermetic conclusion might appear somewhat bewildering, but if we test it against the facts, we will invariably find it confirmed. When we imagine the three candelabra within us, the seven-branched candelabrum in the head sanctuary, the one in the solar plexus, and the one in the heart, and if we experience that the three times seven lights in the heart sanctuary merge together into one soul state, we should certainly not conclude that this is a fully automatic process from which the soul state inevitably results. That is not how it is. It is not only the subconscious, the voice of the primordial past, that plays a role in the heart, but also the waking consciousness, the sevenfold light present in the head sanctuary, the consciousness fluid with which the seven cerebral cavities are filled. The seven cerebral cavities can be compared with mirrors through which all the forces coming together in the waking consciousness are reflected into the heart. So when we speak of a soul state that is formed in the heart sanctuary, we must bear in mind that your direct waking consciousness has an extremely important role to play in this formation. In other words, it is up to you. In your heart, you encounter all the influences, all the radiations, all the impulses active in your being in whatever way. They are like so many voices all speaking to you. In addition, at least if you are a serious pupil of the young gnosis, the fundamental touch is present in your heart, the voice of the central heart, the voice of the rose. In this way, with your normal waking consciousness, you meet in your heart, from second to second, all the influences that are coming to you from all sides. And the voice of the rose, too, is speaking within you and can have a decisive, form-giving effect. You can judge everything that comes to you in the light of the rose's S influence. It can become the influence that determines the norms within your own being, and which has sometimes been called the voice of conscience. So the heart is a workshop in which you, as a conscious being, can exercise a very important influence and carry out some vital work. And you will need to do that work before all the influences, forces, and lights active in you combine to form. 1. Ineradicable soul state. Once that soul state has been formed, you will have no choice but to follow it. Have you ever heard about the conflict of the heart, the struggle of the heart, of the sorrow and the joy of the heart, or of the hardening of the heart? The most important battle, the battle for true pupilship, must be fought in the heart. Did you know that the truly liberating alchemical product, the product necessary to bring about the alchemical wedding of Christian Rosicross, must be prepared in the heart? Throughout all history, there has never been a Gnostic spiritual school that has allowed itself to be misled, for instance, by ordinary social standing. True nobility is always nobility of the heart. That is why it is said in the Bible that God, the Spirit, sees into the heart. So it is of no use to be able to talk ever so nicely, or to be able to pose as if one was our dear Lord himself, for the Spirit sees into the heart. This means that the only decisive factor is the soul state arising from the heart and encompassing the whole being. We are saying this so emphatically because, in fact, many do not yet know the struggle of the heart. They still only think of the heart as an organ of feeling. You say, I feel this or that. But by then it is already too late, for what you are experiencing is the soul state. You are only aware of the heart as a fully automatic organ, and you accept the soul state arising from it. But you cannot do otherwise, can you? And when you experience the results of your soul state and enter into conflict with them, as you so frequently do, what you are fighting against is your soul state, which has perhaps brought you a great deal of trouble and sorrow. But the fight is hopeless. You will never win. You think about it all in the head sanctuary, not in the heart. Whatever should I do, and what should I stop doing? How should I act in order to win? You fight this battle in the head until you are tired to death. And yet, it is already too late. You need to transfer the conflict to the workplace of the heart, in which the soul state is being formed from second to second. If you do that and are successful, then you will no longer be helpless in the face of facts and coming events. You yourself can determine your fate, for everything that happens in your life is controlled and driven by your soul state. So if you succeed in changing your soul state, you will have taken your fate into your own hands, and you yourself will be able to determine the course of events in your life. In this way, you really can reverse your fate, and that is soul birth. The birth of the soul, genuine soul regeneration, is not some vague sentiment. I feel this and I feel that. Such vague feelings that we all experience from time to time are nothing else than a soul state one has formed oneself. So we say again, you need to enter into battle in the heart sanctuary. You need to drive out all those forces and tensions that could obstruct you on the path, and allow the helping, constructive forces to flow in. In this way, you yourself can form your soul state and bring about the rebirth of the soul. The condition of the heart that animates you from second to second is your soul state. So your soul state is not a static value that you simply have to accept just like that. No, you can change your soul state. You can change it fundamentally. So if we hear someone say, yes, that's how I am, it's my nature to be like that, well, then we know how far things have gone. For if you are really a serious pupil of the gnosis, you will change, if all is well, from day to day. Your type, your character, will alter. As a result of your birth, the time comes when a certain soul process, a certain soul nature, becomes apparent. As the years go by, you discover it, but you do not need to be satisfied with that state. You can change it fundamentally through self. Surrender. This means that, with your whole self, with your consciousness, with the powers of the candelabrum in the head sanctuary, you must descend into the heart sanctuary. Your soul state can be altered in all kinds of ways. You can make your soul state increasingly wicked and destructive. You can also accept it as if it were automatic, or you can consciously prepare it in such a way that it is capable of receiving the spirit. Most people simply accept their soul state as it is. In such cases, the nature, the character, the type is quickly formed as the person grows older, and all the metabolic processes are brought into line with it. In this way, a state of crystallization is reached, and such persons are lost as regards any form of change. Indeed, they may still want to have the gnosis as well as a kind of consolation in their lives. There are some people who take that point of view. The gnosis will help you to get through life. But that is not the aim of the gnosis. It wants to liberate you from this state of misery. And that is why you need to descend into the heart sanctuary and there enter into battle with your soul state. And there is also a group of people whose representatives do not accept the life state of the masses, such people seek power, honor, and fame, self-exaltation. In the nature of death, all these things are only to be obtained by concentrated self-maintenance, quite possibly over the backs and corpses of others, or by means of all sorts of lies and dirty tricks. The result is always a soul state that falls far below the average norms. If one listens to people of this group, one often hears them say, "Yes, I used to pay attention to ethical considerations, but I always suffered for it. So now I have hardened my heart." You probably know people like that. So those who do not simply accept their soul state and do not want to close and harden their hearts, but begin the struggle of the heart, can change and renew their soul state and thus the whole course of their lives. They will receive another soul state in which the life of the rose will be able to unfold completely. And the result will be that the Spirit, God Himself, will be able to enter the heart sanctuary. And of them one will be able to say, with Hermes, "The Spirit, O Tat, is of God's very essence."